morning, everyone. Good to be here this morning. Amen. It's in this bright, wonderful morning in the middle of August, and we can gather together to worship and sing praises to our Lord. Lonnie and his family are at the state fair this week, so I'm filling in this morning, and we'll start with our first hymn, number 750. 750. Isn't he wonderful? Okay, stand with me as we sing together in praise. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, 'tis recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Let's join in our opening prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your precious love and your providence over everything. We see it in your creation this time of year and how glorious it is. And help us to hide that in our hearts and realize that you are the absolute ruler of the whole universe. And help us to lift your name up in the song this morning and that we would praise together. And thank you that you watch and care over each of us. We pray for Pastor John this morning, Lord, at home, healing up. Pray that you'd be over his body there, that you would just allow it to heal up with your power. And we know that your powers of healing confound man and the doctors here. We pray that you would just give him peace and strength as he goes through the coming days. Thank you, Lord, for each one here now. And we just lift this service up to you in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, we'll go right into announcements. We want to follow what you have in the bulletin in front of you there. So evening service tonight, 6 p.m., and there'll be a music committee tonight also. It's time again. The summer rolls by, right? So we'll have a music committee prayer for our music in the coming 3 months after the service. Women's Bible study will be this Tuesday at 6 o'clock the 13th. And see Kathy Swasink if you have any questions about that. And it'll be at the community center over there, Cottage Apartments, where Kathy lives. Sharon lives there also. But over there in the community room is where they meet. We have a change in men's Bible study. I want to point that out. We decided to use a different time slot. Tuesday evenings would be more convenient for the men to come to a consensus. We'll try that for a while. It'll be 6:30 here at the church on the 20th. It'll be our next Bible study for the men. So we'll look forward to that. Deacon meeting on the 15th. Deacons and leaders know what's happening there. And just a note, the Wednesday night offerings is going to the group youth fund. So remember that. And coming up tentatively, we have the September 22nd. We're going to have a worship service outside down at Drake Park down there. So we're in the preliminary starting to plan for that and see what exciting time we can have outside and praising the Lord in a different setting. So bear that in mind. Okay, does anybody have anything I might have missed? Okay, no Special K can help me remember things. She usually does. All right, pastor's thought here. We may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito. C.S. Lewis, the great theologian in England. Okay, men, you can come forward and we'll receive our offering this morning. All righty, let's give thanks to the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to give you in many ways and pray that as we give of our finances and resources that you would take them and use them for your purposes and that we would just see what great things you can do if we have tender heart to respond to your urge to share what you give us. And we just lift it up to you and we thank you that you have the innate wisdom to use it as you see best. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for that, ladies. Okay, now turn to the front of the hymnal, page 50. Jesus, Wonderful Lord, page 50. We'll sing the first two verses of Jesus, Our Wonderful Lord. And first two stanzas. Born of a virgin is prompter the save, living in weakness by Galilee's shore, lying in shame as the wicked growth. Jesus, Wonderful Lord, wonderful, wonderful Jesus, He is my friend, true to the end. He gave Himself to redeem me. Jesus, Wonderful Lord, the second. Weary yet He is the world's only rest, hungry and thirsty with plenty has blessed. Tempted He promises grace for each test. Jesus, Wonderful Lord, wonderful, wonderful Jesus, He is my friend, He at the end, He gave Himself to redeem me. Okay, Kay has a special music this morning, so listen to what she's prepared. All right, I was waiting for my cue there.
Good morning, everybody. Well, that song really spoke to me because I'm not used to being up here speaking, and I need to forget about myself and focus on the Lord and worship Him. So thank you, everybody, for your prayers this past week as I've been preparing for this. And, a few months back, we had a meeting here in church, and we were talking about having somebody come and cover for the pastor when he was gone. And I opened my big mouth, and I said, we've got some men in church that can cover that. And then Kim went and got hurt, and praise God that she's doing well. And I opened my big mouth again. I said, praise God, we've got some men in the church that can cover that. And the pastor got hurt, and I opened my big mouth, and here I am. And praise God. And I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here, even through my imperfections and my downfalls. And I also want to thank all the people that have stepped up and filled in where needed. And God does have some good people here to fill in. I may not be one of them. Praise God, even though I'm not, He can use me and He can work through me, not because of anything in and of myself, but because of Him. And I just want to thank God for that and thank again everybody else that has been willing to do the Lord's work. And let's pray quickly. Our Father, we thank You, God, again for this day that You've given us, Lord, this beautiful day to gather together as a Christian family. Thank You, O Lord God, that even amidst the trials and the tribulations and the trouble, Lord, that we can still gather together, and we know that Your hand is upon us. We thank You, O Lord, for Your wonderful grace and Your love and Your care for us, O Lord, that knows no bounds. And we thank You, God, so much that You've given Your Son for us, God, that we can be in a relationship with You and have peace once again between ourselves and You. And again, have that close relationship with You, O Lord, that Adam and Eve had through Your Holy Spirit. And God, all we have to be is willing. And we pray, O Lord God, that You will soften our hearts and help us, O Lord, that whether through the blessings or the trials, that we turn to You, God, and we seek Your face. And as we draw closer to You, Lord, You'll draw closer to us. And I pray, Lord, that You do draw us closer here today. And again, O Lord, You know that I am weak and frail, and I don't have the ability to bring this message forth, Lord. And I just need You, Lord God, to help me and to take my hand as we go through this, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You speak through me, and God, that You will, as You have promised, Lord, allow Your word not to return to You void today. Thank You, God, so much for Your love and Your care, and again for this time that You've given us. Continue, Lord, to have Your hand upon Pastor and Kim and all the situations going on in our church family, Lord, but also in this world around us. And we thank You, God, that in Your permissive will, there are a lot of things going on in this world that people can look to and they can see, hey, you know what, this world is not what it should be. And Your word is the only place that contains the right answers, the light, Lord, in a world full of darkness. And we pray, God, that people will turn and we will turn our eyes to the light, Lord. We thank You, God, and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. So to get me kick-started here today, I'm going to ask a question. What is the world's number one top-selling book of all time? Shout it out. The Bible. All right. Well, thank you very much for that. That lends a little credence to my next thing here. So in his international bestseller, Ecclesiastes, Solomon penned the words later made famous by singer-songwriter Peter Seeger and the American folk rock group The Byrds in their 1965 single, Turn, Turn, Turn. Now, I'm sure that's playing in some of your minds right now, right? To everything, turn, turn. Yeah, you guys know the song. Well, that was based on Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we're going to go into that just briefly. I know it's a very common text. You're probably very familiar with it. But let's give it a quick read here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to go 1 through 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 13. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, no good in the days, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Amen. While Seeger did adapt nearly 8 verses of Scripture into what became an exceptionally popular song, he did in the process also manage to omit the Lord's message to mankind through the hand of Solomon. Namely, that in this life we should expect changes of season, in both the positive and the negative sense, and to be somewhat prepared for that. And if not, you've been warned today. But I think everybody sees the different seasons and changes that we go through in life. What we can expect are the trials and hardships, difficulty, pain, death, loss, all part of the fallen world in which we live, but also through the permissive hand of God. Yet, we can also look forward to the many manifold blessings that the Lord rains down upon the just and the unjust, Matthew 5:45. But especially on his obedient children, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Matthew 7:11-12. Yet through all this, and where Seeger left off, is to recognize who God is, through your faith in him, and to rejoice in the days that he has given us and in the good of our labors. So the question is, what is truly good? What are the good things of our labors? What's truly good is that which is done righteously before the Lord. That's what's good. The Apostle Paul exhorts us to the same in 1 Corinthians 10:31b, and whatever you do, do all for the glory of God, and not for our own selves. What does Solomon say in Ecclesiastes chapter 2? Solomon says, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. Whatever we aren't doing for God is vanity and vexation of spirit. That means it's unfulfilling and it's unprofitable. Right? In the face of eternity and in this moment in which we live. Now, that doesn't mean that everything we do is a complete waste of time. You know, he talks about that in a moment. But so much of what we do and what we count as important in our lives, it truly isn't. You know, and we have to put that in perspective. Get a little drink of water here. And yet, rejoice in the days which the Lord has given you, and in the work and in the seasons he has set before you in his perfect will. Having faith, nothing wavering, as James admonishes us in James chapter 1, 5. Coming before the Lord, and that's what James 5 is about when we come to the Lord in prayer. You know, when we come to him in prayer for trials, for blessings, for whatever we come to him with, not to waver, not to go back and forth. Come to the Lord with praise and humility in both times of fullness and times of want. Unless we forget God's hand upon us in times of trouble, Romans 8:28, many of you can quote that. And all things work to what? To good. For what? Who's good? God's good according to his will, right? He works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so many times I think, you know, we as Christians, we're, you know, like, well, all things are going to work to good for the purpose of which we've set forth for ourselves, right? Well, that's not what the Bible says. Are we doing things that are, you know, as Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 2? You know, are they vanity and vexation of spirit? And then we expect that to turn out, you know, good in that way. Well, says here that if we're doing things for the Lord according to His purpose and His will as He has called us. But that said, you know, He loves us and He cares about us and the things that we do every single day. You know, so He does care about the things that you care about. But sometimes we can interject a little something in there and say, well, I've got God on my side, so this thing that I'm doing that's vanity is going to come out just the way I want it to. You know, like a great Santa Claus in the sky that's going to give us everything we want, right? You know, but that's not God. So I would ask you and me some questions. Have you been called to the Lord's side through faith in Jesus Christ today? Are you a believer who is actively quenching God's will right now in the day in which we live, in your life right now? Or have you answered the call? Read Matthew 24, talking about changes in seasons. The time is short. How many signs do we need in this life? Now, I began assembling this message back in January, believe it or not. I wanted to have something available in case I was called upon to preach in the Lord's timing, just to have. I had the outline and I had the message that the Lord put on my heart, but that message was incomplete. It was sitting in my folder in my bag over there, you know, for a long time. And when I was asked last Sunday to step up today and preach, I knew I had it there, but I also knew there was some work to be done. And, but I left it blank on purpose. I didn't finish it on purpose because I know that the Lord, you know, is always working on me and He's always working on us and He has something to bring forth. And I didn't want to have something finished and done and say in my heart, this is ready to go. So I wanted to see what the Lord would do with it. And I pray that He will, you know, bring something forth today. But not until I began reviewing this message did I consider it in the light of all the recent events and the changes in season that we're seeing right now, not only in this world, but personally, and corporately as a church, but also for Israel, for the United States, and for mankind as a whole. There's a lot going on. Changes of seasons. Yet this message was not written with a specific event or person, any particular individual or situation in mind, but rather the very state of mankind again, according to Ecclesiastes 3. And in light of where we stand in the face of Matthew 24, as I just mentioned, God's calling in our own lives, and whether or not we have an eternity with Him or we have an eternity in the lake of fire. So for those that aren't familiar with the context of Matthew 24, let's turn there just briefly. Matthew 24, 3. Matthew 24:3. And as He, that's Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, His disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, if you're not familiar with what follows in the rest of this chapter, I want you to put a bookmark there. Put a bookmark in it. Come back to it later today. But do it today. Don't take time. You know, don't let things rob that time away from you because you don't know how much time you have. Don't let it slip by. Accept the warning. Pay attention to the signs and answer the call that the Lord has for you today because there may not be another opportunity. In fact, you may not even have another 5 minutes. We don't know. Now, there's an old secular fable called The Ant and the Grasshopper, which is what I named this message, The Ant and the Grasshopper. It was written by Aesop. That is the fable. And undoubtedly familiar to most of you, but here it goes. One bright day in late autumn, a family of ants were bustling about in the warm sunshine, drying out the grain they had stored up during the summer, when a starving grasshopper, his fiddle under his arm, came up and begged for a bite to eat. What? Cried the ants in surprise. Haven't you stored anything away for the winter? What in the world were you doing all last summer? I didn't have time to store up any food, whined the grasshopper. I was so busy making music that before I knew it, the summer was gone. The ants shrugged their shoulders in disgust. Making music, were you? They cried. Very well. Now dance. And they turned their backs on the grasshopper and went on with their work. Now, I'm going to add a word here from the Bible. You guys maybe will know what that means. Selah. What does that mean? That means think about it. I hope we as Christians can do better. Now turn with me to Proverbs 6, 6:11. And we'll explain that a little bit more in depth in a moment. Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. And here, Solomon writes to the proverbial grasshopper. Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And what? So shalt thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. A little sleep sounds good sometimes, doesn't it? What does it mean, though? Your poverty comes as one that traveleth. If you've ever traveled and maybe stayed out a little longer than you thought, maybe didn't bring as much money with you as you thought, that need comes up pretty sorely sometimes, and you're like, well, I don't have anything. Now, this day and age, obviously, we have plastic, so we can use that, but what if you forgot your wallet? You know, maybe you left it in the hotel or something. Either way, if you travel and you don't work and you're not gaining anything, you can only go so long before you need to start making money again. Right? How long are you going to sleep? How long are you going to sleep? And if you go long enough, your poverty, your spiritual poverty, is going to come as an unarmed, sorry, not as an unarmed man, but as an armed man. And what does that mean? That means that your poverty is going to come fiercely upon you, and there's going to be nothing you can do about it because you've been asleep. Here Solomon is speaking to the grasshopper. I pray that we aren't grasshoppers here today. In Luke 12:56, you don't have to turn there. Jesus himself reminds mankind that we are fully capable of determining the signs and the seasons. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Because people have made themselves blind through sin, like the grasshopper, keeping your eyes on the things of the world, of the flesh, not looking to God, going about your way and letting the seasons pass. They're too busy to be bothered because of what they're doing. Feels right in the moment, but it isn't. Mark 13, the companion text to Matthew 24. Jesus says in verse 23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. We have all that we need to understand the times in which we live. It's right here. We may not know the day and the hour of the Lord's return, but we do know the signs and we do know the seasons. And right here in our hands and in our hearts, we have the grain, the knowledge, the seed of God's word, and the good news for mankind through Jesus Christ, and the responsibility to use it appropriately as the good of our labor before the Lord, as we saw in Ecclesiastes. Yes. Now let us return for a moment to Aesop's fable. For the story goes, and rightfully so, that the ants were bustling about in the warm sunshine, drying out the grain, preparing to stow it away in order to feed who? Themselves. They're storing it away to feed themselves. Do we not see a spiritual parallel in the church? You know, not just our church, the church on a whole, throughout the world. What do we do with the grain that God has given us? We feed ourselves. They weren't willing to share with that doomed grasshopper. What are we doing with the grain God has given us? For the Christian, the grain we have in store is the gospel and the word of God for all mankind, that God himself has buried in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. and which in turn has brought forth fruit unto salvation. Amen. Excuse me. And as we bear fruit in the Lord, we also in turn, what? We bear seeds. If you bear fruit, you bear seeds. And what do you do with seeds? To invest, not to hoard. What happens to seeds if you hold on to them too long? They dry up, they rot. They're no good. You hold on to the seeds too long, they don't mean anything anymore. Turn with me briefly to Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Again, this is something that most of you will probably be familiar with. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. 25, 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who hath called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more talents. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that as thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I think maybe I just went a little farther. No, that's right. 14 through 30. We cannot, brothers and sisters in Christ, be like the ants in Aesop's fable, or the slothful servant in this parable, bearing the seeds of the gospel of Christ, sitting around on our Christian laurels, only working to feed ourselves and telling the grasshoppers of this world, as my mother used to say, and probably yours too, you've made your bed, and you've made your bed, now lie in it, right? That's what my mother used to say. She'll probably listen to this and give me a hard time. Put the seeds to work before they rot and become worthless. And again, I'm speaking to myself too, not just to you here. And by the way, if we look at the parable that we just read in Matthew 25, where should we invest our seed? Well, first thing, right? The first thing we're talking about, well, with the grasshoppers, of course. But, okay, so let's say that you aren't investing the seed with the grasshoppers. Do you bury it? If you don't have the ability for one reason or another to invest that seed with the grasshoppers, he says, give it to the exchangers, right? Give it to the exchangers. Let them do something with it. Don't just bury it. Slothful servant. If you have the seed that God has given you, invest it in church. Invest it with God's people. Give it some usury. Let God work with it. Let God cause it to grow. Come to fruition. Bear some more seeds. See where that leads you. Don't just bury it. Use it. And let the Lord use it. And when, if not, we see the Lord face to face, instead of hearing him say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, we may learn that our bricks and stones and jewels that we thought we were building upon the Lord's foundation with turn out to be hay and stubble. Good for nothing but be burned, good for nothing but to be burned up in the purifying fire of our Lord. And all the treasures that we thought we were storing up for the winter were instead falling into the waiting hands of Satan. Because that's what happens when we allow those seeds to rot. All right? Goes to corruption. Goes to Satan. So we're letting that go to Satan as we increase our own wealth in our own eyes instead of using it to feed and clothe the grasshoppers of this world. And what do we clothe them with? The good news of Jesus Christ, who died for them just as much as he did for us. And because we've been burying our treasures like the ants, as we see the day approaching, instead of planting the seeds in the lives of others and encouraging them to heed the times and the seasons and the call of the Lord as he seeks to gather us and them under his wing as a hen does her chicks. The word reminds us in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, not while we were holy, we weren't holy, while we were sinners and grasshoppers, Christ died for us. He died for the grasshoppers as we once were. And while there isn't much hope left for the grasshopper in Aesop's fable, hope still remains for those who as of yet have still neglected to hear the Lord's call in this world right now. Excuse me. I'm going to make sure I start bringing bottles of water for the pastor. It gets kind of dry up here. How many around us, like the grasshopper, are not taking time to consider God's word and the implications of the changes of season taking place all around us, nor are mindful of the consequences of their own inaction and indifference? The proverbial winter is right around the corner. And we, brothers and sisters in Christ, seeing the seasons change around us and considering the state of the world in which we live, knowing what is to come, are we drifting day to day, falling asleep at the wheel, like the grasshopper, even though we're saved, still being like the grasshopper, choosing to ignore the signs all around us because of the frivolities, the cares, the pleasures of this world, and in our daily lives that appeal to the lusts of our hearts, the vanity, saying to ourselves, we don't need to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. That's scriptural, right? No, it's not. Sounds scriptural. We make our excuses for inaction. And again, I'm looking at myself too. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 through 34, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, our needs, shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take care of the thoughts, or shall take care for the things of itself. See, for here we see that the grain or the seed that we should be looking for, the provender to look for, is not the physical. It's not the stuff. It's not the daily provision that we're looking for. That's not the seed we're looking for. We should be striving for that which feeds not the physical body, but our spirits. Through the truth of God's word, the salvation available to us through the Son, Jesus Christ, and the wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But guess what? We haven't been promised a tomorrow, have we? Not here, on this side of eternity anyway. And therefore, we are told in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now. And God says, start planting, start watering, because I'm ready to start multiplying. Are we going to listen? Are we going to be the good and faithful servant? It doesn't take that much to plant a seed. But do we do it? I pray that if you're the proverbial grasshopper listening to me right now, that you'll take these things to heart, because a spiritual winter is coming for all those who are found apart from Jesus Christ. The time is short. It grows shorter every day. The time to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior is now, because the winter is but a breath away. And as I conclude here, and if you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, and have already accepted the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, then I hope and pray that you are actively working to store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and doing so as diligently as the ants prepare for winter, planting seeds, watering them, and edifying the body of Christ, ready to work, ready to work the harvest to which the Lord has called his people. Amen. Our Father, again, we come before you, O Lord, as broken and slothful and just wicked servants, Lord, truly, in our flesh. We try to do well, Lord, but you know that there is no good in us, in the natural man. But I thank you, O Lord God, that because of your love and your grace, that you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that paid the debt and that made peace between ourselves and you again. And Lord, in the things that we do through your Holy Spirit, there can be profit. And God, we pray that you will help us in our daily lives as we go out into this world. And Lord, even as we're right here, you know, let us plant some seeds amongst the brothers and sisters of Christ that are right here today. And those that have walked in the door, even if they aren't a member. But the people that we see every day, Lord God, so many times we're wrapped up in the things that we're doing, the vanity and the vexation of this life. And we're so clouded and so blind because of those things, Lord, that are in our lives that we forget to plant the seeds. And that's what Satan wants from us. He wants to blind us. Help us, O Lord God, that we're walking with you daily. We never are apart from you. You're with us 24/7, 365, never leaving us and never forsaking us. But we walk in our lives as if we're by ourselves sometimes. God, help us to turn our hearts and our eyes to you, Lord. And Lord, you are the light that shines in the darkness. And as I've told people, my family, my kids, my class here at church, you know, we're walking in a dark place. You are the light to our path. And if we look into the light, we can see the path ahead of us. But if we look into the darkness, we're bound to stumble. If we look into the place where the light doesn't shine in the world around us and in the vanities and the vexations of this world, as again Solomon put it, then we're bound to stumble, even though you're with us, because we're not looking in the light. Help us, O Lord. You know our weaknesses, Lord. You know the strengths that you have given us, because each and every one of us has been given a gift according to your word. And God, I pray once again that you will strengthen and refine our strengths that you have given us and the gifts that you have given us, O Lord, and that you will strengthen the weaknesses that we have, O Lord. And part of doing that is by having a working body of Christ together, Lord, and that's where we need to start sharing some gifts, sharing some seed. But, Lord, again, not to forget the grasshoppers in this world, because they are on their way to a winter, Lord, without provision. And that's an eternal winter without Jesus Christ. So help us, O Lord, help this world continue to reach to the lost and continue, O Lord, to spur your people on that we might do what is right in your eyes, Lord, and that when we see you, we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into my joy. I thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jason, for that great message. very practical, timely, what we need to consider being about the Lord's business, right? Sing just the first stanza. If you have a need to come to the first pew to pray or talk to somebody, feel free to do so. We have plenty of folks who would like to help you, and if the Lord stirs and moves, you feel welcome to do that. Lord, I'm coming home. The first stanza. I've wandered far from God. Now I'm coming home. The price of sin for long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never nor to roam. Open now thine hearts of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Amen. Brother Lynn, could you close us in prayer this morning? Amen.